Mark chapter 14, and I want to share with you briefly something as we prepare our hearts to gather around the Lord's table, and it has to do with leading the way. That's the title of the message, Katie, leading the way, leading the way. And as you're turning to the Gospel of Mark chapter 14, my question is this: who are you following? You say, I'm not following anybody. Yes, you really are. Who are you following? And then I want to ask you this question: who are you leading? You say, I'm not leading anybody. Yes, you are. You're leading somebody. Somebody's watching you. They're reading you like a Bible. They may not know the gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but they know the gospel according to you, and they know the gospel according to me, and they're watching you. They're reading you. So who are you following, and then who is following you? Somebody well said, great leaders are great followers. Do you believe that? I'll prove it this morning. Great leaders are great followers. You say, no, I don't know if I believe that. Well, it's according on who you mean by who you're following. Because the greatest leader that ever lived was the Lord Jesus. Somebody say amen. And yet he followed his Father, his Father's will. We're going to talk about a subject today. The Lord put it on my heart this week as I was praying, Lord, what would you have us to look at today? And speaking of leadership and speaking of followership, one former president put it this way. He said, leading a nation is like speaking at a cemetery. Somebody said, what? He said, leading a nation is like speaking at a cemetery. I said, what do you mean by that? He said, everybody's under you, and nobody's listening to you. Sometimes I wonder about that in the many churches today, if nobody's listening to you. But anyway, this week I've had the privilege on Thursday, Friday, Saturday to be with several families who have had loved ones to pass away. And you know, I was reminded once again, listen to me, I was reminded once again that one day in somewhere the future is your name and my name on God's calendar. Do you realize that? We are not invincible. That is invincible. That is, we are going to one day pass away. The question is, what kind of lasting legacy are you going to leave? How many want to leave a lasting legacy? Let me see your hand. Yeah, you want to leave a lasting legacy. It's not how you start the race, it's how you finish. And Lord, help me to finish faithful. Let's say that together. Lord, help me to finish faithful. One more time. Lord, help me to finish faithful. Leaving a lasting legacy. You're leading whether you know it or not. Mamas, look up here. Every mama, you're leading. You're leading your family. Your children are watching you. You say they're grown. That doesn't matter. You still have influence in your family. Leadership is influence. Daddies, look up here. Every daddy, you're a leader. You may not realize it or not, but you're leading the way. Your family's watching. People are watching. You are leading the way. The question is, what kind of leader are you? And young people, you're leaders, whether you know it or not. You are influencing other people. Hey, young people, you are influencing other people. Therefore, you are a leader as well. The question is, what kind of leader? Leading the way. And as I mentioned to you a moment ago, that the Lord Jesus was the greatest leader that ever lived. The key to his life is he was led by the Holy Spirit and he followed his Father's will. And therefore, I believe that we as his servants must not only be led by the Holy Spirit, but also follow the Father's will. That's the key to your lifestyle. You want to finish faithful? Do you want to hand down a lasting legacy? The answer is yes. Well, if you do, the key is being led by the Holy Spirit and following the Father's will and pointing others to follow the Father's will. You're a leader, whether you know it or not. Every single person in here is a leader. And so today we're going to consider two ways that you can leave a lasting legacy. Two ways to leave a lasting legacy. And they're found in the Gospel of Mark chapter 14. Here they are. Number one, I want to ask it in question form. Are you being led by the Holy Spirit? And are you leading others to God's will or being led by the Holy Spirit? Number one, are you being led by the Holy Spirit, and are you leading others? You are leading others, and who are you leading? That's the first question and the first way that we can evaluate what kind of leader you are. I'll tell you what, you got to step up the plate, my friend, because your influence is very important this day and time. You are leading, and the question is, who are you leading? Number one, are you being led by the Holy Spirit? And we'll see the life of our Lord in a moment. And then are you leading others? But number two is, are you following the Father's will? And are you pointing others to follow the Father's will? And in the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 14, we'll look at it in just a moment. For the sake of time, let me just simply run through this that the Lord had me to put together by His help concerning leadership, spiritual leadership. I'm talking about spiritual leadership today. And we need some more spiritual leaders today, amen. We want to be accountable for everything else, our money. We want to be accountable to our job. You miss about 4 or 5 days a week on your job. You won't have a job very long. You're accountable to your job. You just stay away from your home about 15 nights out of a month and your wife not know or your husband not know where you're at. And I guarantee you won't be married very long. We are accountable to our marriages. We're accountable to our jobs. You stay out of school half the year and see if you pass the next grade. You probably won't. We're accountable to everything else. We need to be spiritually accountable. Amen. And amen and amen. And so, as I thought about this thing, are you a spiritual leader? Yes, you are. I like this, and putting this together, this caption, I'm a leader, not a follower. I'm a leader, not a follower. Unless it's a dark, scary place, then you're going first. And you can see Bugs Bunny in the hole. Yeah, I want to be a leader, but if it's a dark, scary place, then you're going first. You know what people say? We talk about sharing our faith. We talk about evangelism. We talk about soul winning. But I'm afraid to say I think we do more talking than we actually do the actual telling people about Jesus. It's not the problem of reading books about it. The problem's not the preaching about it. The problem's not teaching about it. The problem's not talking about it. The problem's doing it. And I'm afraid we're like Bugs Bunny here in the hole. Pastor, I'm shy, and I just don't know what to say. And I'm about talking about somebody telling about Jesus and talking about being a Christian. And I'm just kind of, reserved, and I'm kind of shy. Well, let me ask you a question. If you knew you had the cure for cancer, and you alone had the cure for cancer, would you be shy about it? I said, would you be shy about it if you had the cure for cancer? No. We've got something greater than the cure for cancer. What you say, but I don't know what they'll say. And right there. Look, it doesn't matter what they think. We have got to, as a servant leader, now whether it's confrontational, whether it's relational, it doesn't matter, just do it. I like this caption. Notice this particular picture. Whatever happened to leadership? Look at this fish. He's in the back. It should be the other way around, but now he's following the crowd. I want to ask you a question. Young people, look up here. Are you following the crowd? Adults, are you following the crowd? Is it what Hollywood does? Is that what sets the way you dress? Is that the way you wear your hair? Is that how you, present yourself? Is other people in our world influencing us? I got a feeling we're having more influence than we're willing to admit. We are following oftentimes instead of leading the way. Whatever happened to leadership? That's a good caption. And then I like this. Do as I say, not as I do. How many have ever heard that? Do as I say, not as I do. But then look, but you don't do anything. How can I do what you do? And then exactly. Do as I say, not as I do. Well, the question is, you say, but what are you doing? Are you setting example for your children? Are you leading the way in prayer in your family? Are you mamas teaching your children not only to be honest? I'm not just talking about moral values. Praise God for moral values. Are you teaching your children to pray? Are you teaching them some spiritual lessons? Are you pouring into them how they can trust God? I know that you're doing a wonderful job again, teaching them moral values and getting their homework and daily menial tasks. But the question is, what kind of spiritual leader are you in the home? Are you showing them that we can trust God no matter what? Are you set an example as they watch you and they watch me in the home, how we respond to certain situations? Do they hear us curse and swear and say bad things? Are they watching us flip through the television and watch stuff and, oh, but you can't get on the computer? Do what I say. do as I say, not as I do. The question is, what kind of leader are you? I got a feeling today some of us need to stop and think and realize again that people are watching us. We are servant leaders, servant leaders. And the Lord Jesus set the example here as he said, I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve and to lay down my life a ransom for many. How many want to be great? If you want to be great, you got to learn to be a servant. It's not how many people are under you, it's how many people you're serving. We've got to get this CEO mentality out the window of the work up the corporate ladder to be the big cheese. And it's not how many people are under you, it's how many people are you serving. You want to consider, if you want to be great, Jesus was the greatest leader that ever lived. He took a towel and began to wash the disciples' feet. But in our world, we're bombarded about how to get to the top and how to get to this and that. And unfortunately, it is the world's way, but not the biblical way. And God said, you want to be a leader, learn to serve your family. Learn to serve people. That's a determination of whether you're a leader, a servant leader. And someone as well said, in the corporate world, it's kind of like a monkey climbing a ladder. The higher the people get, the more they're behind, you can see. That's about the size of it. You know people like that. They'll do anything to get to the top. The Lord said, if you want to get to the top, you got to learn to get humble and get down on your knees and start trusting God that you will begin to serve others. I tell you what, it radically changed New Rocky Creek. It'll radically, I'll get it right in a minute. It will change, let me put it that way. It'll change our community, it'll change your school, it'll change your home if we'll start serving each other. That's exactly right. And so, where are you in that area? Well, I think everybody will serve me. Well, if you're like the Lord, you'll begin to serve others. I like this. Either lead, follow, or get out of the way. But never try to do all three at the same time. Lead, follow, or get out of the way. Some people are mixed up. Today you're mixed up. Today you don't understand what maybe your role is, or maybe you're not really fulfilling your role. That's the point of today's message. It's not to throw rocks. It's not to be critical. It's to urge, to motivate you that you are a leader, whether you know it or not, and God has placed you in the place you're in right now as a daddy, as a mama, as a granddaddy, as a grandmama, as a servant of God, whatever profession you're in. I mentioned CEO a moment ago. You know what CEO stands for this time of the year, don't you? Around Easter, Christmas and Easter only. Speaking of church folk that come, Christmas and Easter only, CEO. Uh-oh, that hurt. Anyway, I like this quote right here. The pessimist complains about the wind. The optimist expects it to change. The leader adjusts the sails. I may not agree all with what John Maxwell says, but this is a wonderful quote. The pessimist complains about the wind. Are you finding yourself complaining all the time? Oh, no, but the optimist expects it. Well, it'll change shortly. But the leader adjusts the sails. The leader says, praise God, I'm not going to complain about it. I'm not going to have wishful thinking. I'm just going to do what God tells me to do. And by the way, we've only got a short window of time. Whatever you do right now, you better do it, amen? You better do it. And the goals that God's placed in your life and the vision that God has birthed in your heart, you need, and I need to fulfill it by the grace of God, because time is running out. Time is running out. Another quote I think was very appropriate. Leadership is taking responsibility while others are making excuses. We can make excuses. I can make excuses. We all can make excuses. But it's time to step up and start leading the way. Leading the way. Mama's leading the way. Daddy's leading the way. Christians leading the way. Men, how many would say, yes, Pastor, I want to be a servant leader, not for my sake, but for the Lord's sake. I want to fulfill my purpose. I want to finish faithful. I want to leave a lasting legacy. Well, that's how you're going to do it. Leadership is the capacity to translate vision into reality. It's not just ideas. All of us can think of ideas. Every once in a while we'll get in a meeting, or every once in a while we'll talk with people. It's easy to come up with ideas. But the hard part is seeing the idea / the vision come into fruition, and the church said. And that's where the rubber hits the road. And that's where you got to get down in the mud and roll up your sleeves and see the vision come to a reality. One thing about ideas, but it's another thing to see it through, pray it through, and watch God Almighty do what the Lord wants to do. And that is develop us as spiritual leaders. You're in Mark chapter 14. Stand please as we read. Leading the way. Mark chapter 14. We begin reading in verse 22. Mark 14, verse 22. I know that was a long introduction, but that's all right. We got the Lord's Supper this morning. I'm going to share a few thoughts from this passage, and then we're going to gather around the table. It's good to have Mason Chandler Burrell's brother. He was in an accident last week. He's here with us this morning. He's in a wheelchair. He broke his tibia and his leg. We were praying for him, and we're glad he's with us this morning. Let's welcome him right over here. God bless you. Thank you for being in church today. It could have been worse. Amen. I'm just glad it wasn't worse. I'm sorry it happened, but it could have been worse. And thank God that the Lord has answering prayer. Verse 22 of Mark chapter 14, if you're there, say amen. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed, and brake it, and gave to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank it. And he said unto them, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new with you, as Matthew's account says, Mark's account says, new in the kingdom of God. And this is the word of the Lord. May God bless it to our heart today. In Jesus' name. Father, again, we come and enter your gates with thanksgiving. You've been good to us. And Lord, I know you've placed us here for a predetermined time. I don't know how much more time I've got. Nobody here really knows how much more time they've got. But God, I know the clock is ticking. And I know, dear Lord, we're in this race of grace. And God, our Father, you've got your divine appointments. You've got your open doors. You've got opportunities that you have foreordained that we should walk in them. Give us insight, give us hindsight, give us foresight. Make us, dear God, everything you want us to be in these days. Change us, correct us, give us grace to prioritize our life, our things that we are involved in. Help us to manage the time, redeem the time, as you tell us in your word, what time we've got every day. And then, Lord Jesus, help us to love you and be devoted to you most of all. Give us, Lord, again, your mighty power, your mighty presence in these days to fulfill your calling in each of our lives as we serve you and love you and honor you. And thank you now for those that have gathered. Lord, you know where we're at in our spiritual journey. You know where we're at right now in our personal relationship with you. And we pray heaven's best for each one. You'll cleanse my heart even now. And you'll fill us all afresh with fresh oil. And God, you'll help us to finish faithful. So, Father, be glorified and be high and lifted up now. And we bless you for doing it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Keep your Bibles open. Can I go a couple of places and then we'll be done? Number one, are you being led by the Spirit, and are you leading others by the Holy Spirit? Are you being led by the Spirit? Hey, you look at the life of Jesus. He was led by the Spirit. Remember, he became flesh That's right. We call it the incarnation. The Word became flesh. But remember when John the Baptist introduced him, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world," in John 1:29. And it was then that the Lord Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan River. Remember what the Scripture says in Matthew chapter 4, that after he was baptized, heaven was open. By the way, how many of you have been baptized? Let me see your hand. How many of you have not been baptized? And you know, need to follow through. I don't know who you are. And by the way, you might have been saved after the fact that you were baptized. I was. I was baptized at 13 years old. Thought I was saved, but really wasn't. But really, at the age of 21 is when I really understood it, and we're baptized after we're saved, not before we're saved. And what I mean by saved is when we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, repent of our sin, turn to Him, trust in Him, and yield afresh to Him that He might come in and quicken life in us, we who are dead in trespass and sin. Therefore, have you been saved? Has there been a point in time in your life? And then have you been baptized? I'm telling you about Jesus. When he was baptized, the Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove. The Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." I said all that to say this. Then he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Did you hear me? Led by the Spirit. Say that with me. Led by the Spirit. One more time. Led by the Spirit. I want to ask you a question. Are you led by the Spirit? You can either be led by the flesh or led by the Spirit. Are you being led by the flesh? Paul wrote in Galatians 5:16, "Walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Oh yes, there's a battle royal every day. You can be led by the flesh or you can be led by the Spirit. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, Paul wrote it this way and said, "As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God." Are you being led by the Spirit? Jesus was. So take this for example. Number one, are you being led by the Spirit? And if you want to be a spiritual leader, you must be led by the Holy Spirit. Today, I dare say, if I ask you how many would say, "Honestly, I'm not being led by the Spirit. Honestly, I'm living a carnal Christian life. I know I'm saved. There's no doubt about it, but I'm really not following Jesus. I'm doing my own thing. Oh, yeah, I'm in church right now. But truthfully, if you look at my life, you look at my spare time, you look at my thought life, what I'm thinking during the week, you look at my life, it's really not descriptive of a child of God according to the Scripture. Well, just ask God to change it and be willing to let God change you. One man told me today, last week, he said, "Man, I know I need to change." He came to church on the 11 o'clock service. He said he's been coming now for probably a couple of months, 2 or 3 months, and he told me this. He said he drives all the way from Conyers, Georgia. He comes and a couple of other people, and he said this to me last Sunday. Everybody left, and he said, "I need to talk with you." I said, "All right." We sat down. He's 23 years old. He said, I've been making some bad decisions, and I've gotten some trouble in the past, and God has shown me that I need a change in my life." And he said, "I'm seeing the change that Jesus is making." He's been hearing the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Let's say that together. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. One more time. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. See, you might not think you're getting a lot on Sunday, but the Word of God has life-changing power. Somebody say amen. The Word of God is alive. It's quick and powerful, according to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. The Word of God is quick, zoe. It has life. The Greek word is zoe, which means life. It's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to cut and pierce bone and marrow, able to judge intention of any human heart. As you sit in the Word of God, you read the Word of God, and the Word of God reads you. Amen. It is God's infallible Word. Well, anyway, this man told me, he said, "Man, God has been changing my heart." Isn't that good? I said, "Isn't that good? Don't you love to see God change hearts?" This means yes. This means no. Don't you love to see God change hearts? This means yes. This means no. Hello, you ought to be happy when God's changing lives. Amen. Because it's rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repents. I know we need revival when the people of God aren't excited when somebody gets saved. I'm not saying I set you up just right for that. I take that responsibility. However, we ought to be happy and excited and thrilled when a person is born by the Spirit of God. Amen. Snatched out of the devil's grip, brought into God's mighty kingdom. Well, I was saying all that to say this. Are you led by the Spirit? And let me just give you quickly three examples the Lord Jesus gives us in this text. Number one, how can we leave a lasting legacy? How can we finish faithful? Number one, you ready for it? If you're ready, say amen. Number one, by praying for those around us. Praying for those around us. Number two, by not only praying for those around us, but by pouring in to those around us. Pouring into those around us. Number three, not only by praying for those around us, pouring into those around us, but passing on to those that are around us. Passing on to those that are around us. Number one, by praying for those around us. Jesus got his disciples. He were fixing to come around the Lord's table in just a moment. He got around. He knew that it was the last week. It was the Passion Week. He understood that his ultimate goal was to go to the cross. It was the last week. He's facing ultimate laying down his life as a ransom for many. And he understands the will of the Father. He tells the disciples, find a room. God orchestrated that particular task, and it was so. He gathers his disciples around, and so he begins to pour in. He begins to pass on. He begins to pray not only with his disciples, but for his disciples. If you want to have a lasting legacy, if you want to be a faithful follower, and finish faithful. If you want to be a spiritual leader, you and I must pray for those around us. Are you? You say, but I do all the time. How much? Do you pray with them? Not just for them. Do you pray with them? I said, do you pray with them? I said, do you get them and pray with them? Do they hear you pray? Do they hear you pray? Well, I'm busy. You're too busy if you can't pray with your family or pray with your children. I know we're all busy, but the question is, do you want to leave a lasting legacy? It's not just bringing them to church, praise God, it's living it at home. People say, well, bless God, I brought my children to church and this and that. Well, that's just the first step. You hear me? It's the first step. That's just the starting place. It's how you live Monday through Saturday that makes the difference. Not just Sunday. Anybody can put on our church clothes and kind of act religious. You understand what I'm talking about? But the real proof of the pudding is how you're going to act tomorrow on your job. And how you're going to treat people when you go to Walmart and you had to stand in line for about 2 or 3 minutes. Hello? How you going to act and treat folks when I-85 gets stranded? You know what? I got to thinking about that. Isn't that amazing? One homeless van can shut down Atlanta. Really, think about it. What could a terrorist do if one homeless man gets a fire going and it just absolutely puts Atlanta in disarray? Think about it. Did you look at all this? My soul, we need to get ready, amen? We need to get ready. Hey, praying for them. Look, Jesus got the disciples. He started praying. He got bread and he gave thanks. The disciples heard him. They were with him all the time, 3 years. They saw him pray. They heard him pray. He prayed with them. He prayed for them. He prayed before he chose them. Hey, if we're going to have influence in people's lives, we've got to pray with them. We've got to pray for them. We've got to pray around them. And my question is, are you praying for your loved ones? How many are praying for your loved ones? How many are praying with them? Let me see your hand. All right, just a couple of hands. Some hands weren't raised. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I, as your pastor, I'm supposed to be a spiritual leader, you understand? And if I don't set the precedence, and if I don't say, hey, look, this is what the Word of God says, who is? I mean, somebody's got to do it. And I know we all could use a little improvement in that area. Well, right now, some of it, wait a minute, listen, look up here. Some of us right now need to recommit that time of praying with our family. Amen? Yeah, right now, as we get around the Lord's table, I don't even need to go any further. I could give an invitation right there. Well, I love my family. I'm praying for them, but are you praying with them? I'm not talking about a 5-hour prayer meeting with them. I'm just talking about praying for them, understand? Okay? I'm not talking about, chaining them to the coffee table. Bless God, you're going to sit here and we're going to have our devotion today. No, I'm not talking about beating them over the head with the Bible. Some people in church, they'll go home and get that extreme, you understand? They'll dig a cellar downstairs. But anyway, enough of that. So, are you praying with them? And how many daddies and mamas right now will say, you know what, I need to refresh this commitment to the Lord and start praying with my family? You say, but I know what you're thinking. Ah, but you don't know them. Well, I might not, but God does. And the question is, you're going to obey God. Not are you going to be intimidated by them or that. Just obey God. Obedience brings blessings. Let's say it together. Obedience brings blessings. One more time. Obedience brings blessings. Remember what the quote was? You can be give all kind of excuses about not doing what you want to do, and this and that. Leadership is taking responsibility while others are making excuses. Don't stop making excuses about not praying with your family. Just do it, do it, do it. You say, but oh, I can't. I don't have time with them. Well, just what time you got with them, do it. Number one, praying for them. And by the way, you know what? When we pray for our family, that don't mean they're going to be perfect. Somebody say, I agree. You know what? Peter wasn't perfect. Jesus prayed for Peter. If anybody had a right to soar in the heavenly places and be the greatest leader, which he ended up eventually, it would have been Peter. But you know what Peter said? Jesus talked about dying on a cross. And what did Peter say? Lord, I'll die for you. I will go to prison for you. Didn't he say that? Peter said, I'll die for you, when Jesus said, you're going to deny me. Three times, Peter. Nope. Hey, there's a saying. I want you to get it. And I've learned to say it. I didn't want to say it, but Deanna's taught it to me. Never say never. Say it with me. Never say never. One more time. Never say never. Be careful when you say, I'll never. Once upon a time, I said, I'll never have a cell phone hanging on my side. I did. Hello. Never say never. And some of you know what I'm talking about. Peter said, I'll never deny you. I'll die for you. I'll go to prison for you. Jesus said, Peter, the cock's going to crow. You'll be denied me three times. But thank God we serve a God of a second chance. Amen. Praying for them. Number two, by not only praying for them, are we being led by the Spirit? Are we leading others by the Holy Spirit? By praying for them, number one. And not only number one, but by, watch this, pouring into them. You daddies, you mamas know what I'm talking about. Just because they're grown doesn't mean we don't have responsibility. They're still our children. They're still our grandchildren. They still need our, watch this, affirmation. Do you agree with me? I said they still need our affirmation. Say that word with me. Affirmation. One more time. Affirmation. That is, every child needs their daddy to say, son, I'm proud of you, or I love you, daughter. Right? Don't you agree with me? Grandson, I love you. I'm proud of you, Ansley. A birthday last week, Tammy and Amber. I just praise God for you. Every child needs to be poured into. And even Sunday school teachers and preachers and deacons and spiritual leaders, we need to affirm each other. Not flattery, but encourage each other. Jesus poured into his disciples. Question, are you pouring into anybody? I said, are you pouring into anybody? Well, you say, I'm doing the best I can. I understand. But if you're not doing it, that's what you need to start doing. Pouring in. And then number three, by passing on. By passing on. Now, my time is about to get upon me. I want to move to the second way that you and I can lead the way. Leading the way. Say that with me one more time. Leading the way. Hey, you're leading the way. Do you believe you're leading the way? How many really believe you're leaders? Raise your hand. Raise your hand if you really believe you're a leader. Thank you for being honest. Some of you don't think you're leaders. I don't know what I have to do. If I can stand on my head to make you believe it, I'll do it. I'll try. I don't think I can stand on my head very good. But I just trust your pastor. You're a leader. You are a leader. I know you don't feel like a leader. I know you don't feel qualified. I don't feel qualified to be even saved by the grace of God. But it's not how I feel. It's about what God has done. And so you are a leader, okay? You are. Every one of us in here have influence. You're a leader, all right? A spiritual leader. If you're a Christian, you're a spiritual leader. I don't like to do this a lot, but I just feel impressed we need to do it. Would you say with me, I'm a spiritual leader? I'm a spiritual leader. Say it again. God has made you a spiritual leader, whether you know it or not, whether you like it or not. You are a spiritual servant leader, okay? It's not up for debate. It's a done deal. The question is, what kind of spiritual leader? And I'm not everything I ought to be either. That's why I'm preaching this message. It's for me. But number two, are you following the Father's will? Are you following the Father's will? I'll be brief on this. I want to give you three words that the Lord gave me about following the Father's will and pointing others to follow the Father's will. Three words. Number one, God's plan. Number two, God's purpose. And number three, God's promise. Do you get them? All start with P. God's plan, God's purpose, and God's promise. Where'd I get all that? Jesus was fulfilling the Father's plan. You agree with me? Jesus said, no man takes my life, I have the power to lay it down and raise it up again. Jesus understood that he must come and humble himself. Though he was a servant, he was God in the flesh, yet he had to be obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. God's plan from eternity past was man was lost and therefore needed a Savior, needed forgiveness of sin. That's God's plan. Jesus followed the Father's will. Look up here for a moment. Are you following the Father's will? Are you following the Father's will? You say, but I'm not Jesus. I know, but Christ is in us, the hope of glory. Are you following the Father's will? He's got a will for you. He's got a plan for you. Are you in the plan of God? You say, I don't know. Well, come and get in the plan of God. Just take your hands off your life and say, God, I've been running my life, but I need you to run my life. Isn't it about time you do it? Isn't it about time you stop making excuses? Yeah, you've been making excuses all these years, but you need to stop making excuses because you're a spiritual leader. And you need to stop making excuses about not serving God and loving the Lord and just do what's right And then you'll find out, there's where God's plan is in my life. How many know that when you really take your hands off your life and when you really say to the Lord, God, not my will, but your will be done, that's where it starts right there, isn't it? Not my will, but your will be done. Let's say that together. Not my will, but your will be done. One more time. Not my will, but your will be done. When's the last time you said that? You said just a minute ago. But really, do you mean it? Do you really mean it? All right. Number one, God's plan. Number two, God's purpose. See, Jesus gathered his disciples around the table. And it was the purpose. The disciples saw Jesus in action. The Syrophoenician woman in Matthew chapter 15. Lord, come heal my daughter. She's grievously vexed with demons. And Jesus said, it's not meet to give bread to the dogs. Yea, even the dogs feed off the crumbs that fall from the master's table. I've not found so great a faith nor in all of Israel, said the Lord, about this Gentile woman. The disciples saw Jesus on the outside of Lazarus' tomb. He was dead. He wept. He cried. Why? Because he loved Lazarus, and yet they saw him, called him forth. Lazarus, come forth. I am the resurrection of the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He that lives and believes in me shall never die. The disciples saw the Lord when a little lad came and brought his fish and chips. Hey, look, the little lad wanted to give Jesus everything he had. Have you given everything that you have to the Lord? I want to tell you something. If you bring what you have to Jesus, he can multiply it over and above. And that's what the lesson was about the little lad. He just had two fishes, five loaves of bread. But what did he take home with him? You bring what you have to the Lord, and he's able to multiply it over and above. 12 baskets were brought up. I love that story. I know the Bible doesn't say this, but I can see that little boy. Mama, you're never going to believe, going home, that is. He left with just two fishes and five loaves of bread. Mama, you're not going to believe what I got. Son, how in the world did you get 12 baskets? You left with two fishes and five loaves. Son, how'd you get all this fish and all this bread? Mama, I don't know. All I know is I brought what I had to Jesus, and Jesus multiplied it over and above. Oh, somebody ought to shout right there. Thank God for he's able to do it. All right, now, so his plan, his purpose, and then finally his promise. Jesus said, I love this. I'll not drink this fruit of the vine until that day. Until that day. Sit with me. Until that day. One more time. Until that day. I love that phrase. In fact, that very phrase leaped off the pages, and what the Lord put in our heart as a church, New Rocky Creek, to begin a radio ministry. We're in the process now, working out the bugs. It has been a long process. It has been a learning lesson, and we're seeing light at the end of the tunnel, praise God, until that day ministries. That's where it comes from. He that begun a good work in you will perform it until that day, until the day of Jesus Christ. I'll close on this, and then we're going to gather around our table and have a wonderful time this morning. You're a leader. You're the spiritual leader. And the question is, what kind of leader are you? You're the spiritual leader, a servant leader. What kind of leader are you? Can I say it this way? You never know what God is doing in you and through you. You never know. You are not aware. Can I give y'all a case in point? Happened this week. I was at the funeral home with Brother Gary's brother. Had passed away, Mike, and this on Thursday night. And anyway, I was there, and I felt impressed to talk with Mike's son, who, Michael. I hadn't seen Michael in a few years, and Michael's tall now. He's about 6'2", 6'3". How many know that's tall for me, amen? Anyway, I was glad to see Michael, and I was sitting there talking with him, asking him how things have been going, and he's playing baseball at Eastside High School and pitching, etc. Anyway, about that time, Brother Gary's brother, Terry. Now, regardless of what you think about Terry, say about Terry, I like Terry. He's a friend. Here's what Terry said to me in front of Michael now. He comes up to me. I talked with him early, and I said, Terry, you're looking more like your daddy. He had a cane in his hand, and he said, if one more person tells me that, I'm going to knock him over the head with this cane. He was just kidding, of course. But anyway, Terry came in there. I'm talking with Michael, and this is what Terry told me. It was such a blessing. I felt like the Lord wanted me to share it with you. Terry said this as he, I'm just talking with Michael. He just comes into the conversation. Michael's listening. I'm listening. And so he just steps up there. And we was talking, and anyway, he jumped in the conversation and said, he said, you probably don't know this. And he pointed to me. He said, you probably don't know this. I came and talked with you a number of years ago. And I said, yes, I remember when you came and talked. I remember that. I do remember that. And he said this, and I don't think he'd mind me sharing it. Tara would be the first to say it. He said, you don't know, but I was this close to killing somebody. I was this close to killing somebody. That's what he told me Thursday night. He said, and if I didn't kill them, I was going to kill myself with drugs and alcohol. And he said, but when after we talked, and he didn't go into great detail, he didn't have to, he said, but needless to say, I didn't follow through. You know, I thought, wow, I had no idea. You never know what somebody's going through that comes and talks with you or is around you. I had no idea he was this close. I had no idea that he was this close to killing himself with drugs and alcohol. I knew he had issues like many people do. But for him to say that, you know what I did? I just said, Lord, and I looked at him and I said, well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's say that together. Praise the Lord. To God be the glory. You're a leader. Let's stand together.